Hello, today I'm in Hampshire and I'm in the middle of nowhere. Actually I'm near Meon and I'm here with Lucy Ogilvie-Grant, who makes, what is it? We're standing by some, they look like potions, but they're edible.
They're like somewhere between witchcraft and gardening, I would say. There are jars of all different colours along the bench here. Some of them bubbling, some of them are quite quiet and modest. There's sauerkraut, like you might recognise. But there's also these ketchups that I make. I call them probiotic fermented ketchups. Same kind of principle as making sauerkraut, but they're pureed and they have chilies and they make this hot, delicious kind of toothsome sauce that you might eat with something. And so I'm stirring one here. Josephine's just had a try of it. She describes it as quite powerful.
Yes.
And it is kind of pungent, would you say?
It had an Indian zing about it, mm-hmm. I'd say. Yeah, I could taste many flavours of the Orient.
So that's the spices. So that's the witchy part where you can, stand here at the bench adding and subtracting cardamom or cumin or ginger, turmeric. But the basic body of it is vegetables which have been fermented, either in a brine or just in their own juice.
Now, why are they good for you? You say that they have massive health benefits.
They do. And actually, humans evolved with probiotic foods. It was normal for all of us. And most of us now live in a state where we don't eat anything like this, nothing probiotic. So we've got a kind of desert in our stomach. And this replaces that. That's why it's so good for you. So firstly, the vitamins are much more bioavailable when you eat things that have been fermented. Vegetables, like, for instance, garlic is 10 times more nutritious once it's been fermented, just as an example. But also it's really good for your immune system because it boosts your biome in your lower gut. And that's the key to good digestion and good health.
It's fantastic. So you've got a company now. What's the name and how are you selling these?
Well, it's called Meon Kraut because I'm near East Meon. And it began just as a bit of a hobby. And I did a few jars and then I went to study at the London Fermentary. I did a little course there and it was really inspiring. And not only me, but all of us on the course went home and started fermenting everything that wasn't, moving. And we've all found it really fun. I'm not the only one from that course that's enjoying it. And so I find that my friends like it and that they're prepared to pay for it also. So I have a pop-up with my friend Sarah Raisbeck, who's an amazing baker. We do it once a month, and I do local deliveries, and it's a small-scale thing, but it's really satisfying.
It's fantastic. So it's amazing because they're different colours. I mean, I just think of sauerkraut. I think of that sort of pale lime, pale green colour, and I think of a jar of it, and we had a Slovakian nanny who ate it day and night, and it smelt horrible. Okay.
It can be quite sad-looking, can't it? Mm. And, of course, there's that Alsace sauerkraut, choucroute, which it's about sausages, isn't it? And then there's the kind of weird sauerkraut juice that people drink with breakfast in Germany. I thought that was a joke, but actually I quite like it now.
Now, yeah, you're a convert.
You kind of get this thing where you get an appetite for fermented foods. Mm. But these are really bright. I mean, this one you just tasted that you were calling powerful, it's bright, zingy, vivid orange. Mm. I've got a red one.
What's that one called?
The one you tasted?
Yeah.
Well, in its past iteration, it was called Sun, because it was about tasting sun in the winter. Mm. I kind of give them fanciful names, because I can.
Yeah.
And this one I've made chunkier. It's really designed like that, so you can chop an avocado or a tomato into it, so you can then make a
sort
salsa.
Of salsa.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's like a base for a salsa. Mm. And at the end of the bench, there's one really, it's really red right now, but by the time
it's a Campari pink, I'd call it.
Yeah, by the time I've finished with it, it will be quite a dark colour. It's got dates in it, for instance. It's got, dark, fruity, a lot of Hungarian paprika, lots of smoked chilies in it. So it'll be a really pungent kind of ultra ketchup, if you like. And then in the middle here, we've got something rather elegant. It looks like Celeriac Remoulade, that French bistro classic. It's got that kind of blonde, civilised look. A piece of parsley.
You say that's the bestseller.
It's my bestseller. Yeah. Everybody loves it because it's so, it's really elegant. It's very fresh. And sometimes in the spring, I mix it with spring herbs that I forage. Mm. And in Germany, I think you call that a Frühlingskraut. It's a spring celebration thing like they have in Japan also.
Wonderful cultural references.
Well, it's an international thing. I mean, coffee, wine, olives, chocolate, those are all fermented. But around the world, everybody's been fermenting. You know, in Japan, umeboshi plums, all those little fermented pickles. Of course, all Slovakia, Russia, Ukraine, Transylvania, that's really an active culture there now. And then there's California. Everybody's crowding in California.
Can you tell us how easy it is to do?
At its easiest, at its most basic...
Which is what I'd like to try at home.
Okay, that's one cabbage, one spoonful of salt, 10 minutes tickling it up. That is it, really.
And so then do you need a jar or a bowl? What
so you start with a bowl. You shred the cabbage into the bowl.
What, like you're making coleslaw, that sort of...
Like making coleslaw, correct. Mm. Then per cabbage, you put about a teaspoon of salt on. That would be like sea salt, not table salt. Mm-hmm. That's got iodine in, which arrests the development.
Okay.
Then you... Well, okay, so I used to pound it, but my teacher at the London Fermentary said, just run your fingers through it like you're tickling your son's hair, ruffling your son's hair. Such a lovely image. So I do that, and as you do that, you suddenly go, oh, hang on, this cabbage is like squeaky. It's like water's coming out of it, and... You just
listen. Sorry, have you added water to it?
No, nothing. What? Just the salt. So as you're ruffling it, you're listening to the radio, maybe chatting with a friend, staring out the window at the bird table, you're ruffling it and you look down and you find that you've got this wet cabbage. You squeeze it in your hands and water pours out like you're wringing out a cloth. You pack it in a jar, put the weight on top, wait 7 days, you're done. That's
and
how
simple
it can be.
What will that taste like?
Like a delicious kind of... lemony, slightly pungent, delicious kind of Moorish thing to put in your sandwich or in your salad.
And what sort of cabbage? Because there's all different ones. There's white cabbage, Savoy cabbage. Yeah, yeah. Which one would you
they
use?
They all work. Good old-fashioned English white cabbage works the best. It's more reassuring. You get a lot more juice out of it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that spring cabbage or Savoy cabbage or Chinese leaf, all those things work too. You just... Mm. Have to be a little bit patient. You don't get quite so much juice out initially.
Is it only cabbage? What I mean, you say you add other things, but is cabbage always the basis?
No, it's not always the basis. Mm. So often I'll begin with cabbage and I'll add carrots or beets or something. But sometimes I'll have no cabbage and I'll just use whole vegetables. And of course, with those, it's a slightly different technique. You can't just sprinkle with salt and kind of
wait
clench pieces of beetroots in your hand. You need to put some salt water on top. Make a brine mixture. I use about a teaspoon and a half of salt for a litre of water, something like that. So I might chop up the vegetables. I might add garlic or onion or spices. I might add something fruity to get the fermentation going and to add complexity to the taste. And then I'll pour on the brine. I'll put a weight on the top, glass paperweight I use sometimes. Or, you know, like a jam jar or something.
Yes, because you've got these jars of just... Yeah, you've just got a jam jar. Is that just to keep pressure on it at
it's
all
It's to keep
times?
Pressure on, that's right. And the jam jar's full of water, that gives it weight. And it sticks out of the top, which means that every time I walk past it, I give it a little press, and all the carbon dioxide bubbles flow out of it. That's the way you want it.
And when do you know it's ready?
It stops reacting. Oh. I mean, you could go on for weeks, but usually I bottle it when it stops bubbling.
Now, you said that you're really excited because tonight you're bottling. Why is bottling your most thrilling moment, Lucy?
Well, I don't know. They're babies. They sit there. They develop. I mean, they speak to you. I know that sounds a bit weird, but my bedroom's above the kitchen at night. I can hear them going blum, blum. They've finished. They've kind of done their job, so... I empty them out into a big bowl and then I pack them into shiny matching jars. So you go from a really kind of visceral, funky kind of process into something with a clean jar and a lid screwed on.
And a label.
Kindness and beautiful. Mm. I do the labels myself. Mm. It's like a nice winter evening thing to do. And it's very satisfying to see them rolled up in jars. Who doesn't love colourful, shiny jars of beautiful food, right?
So how have they changed your life, the eating them and working with them, working with this fermentation?
Okay, so it's changed all our family's life. We've become used to having a kitchen table of brewing items, some of them in different stages. That's kind of humorous. It's become normal to us. But when people come to my cottage, they go, what is that? Because they're very much alive, you know. It's the first thing everyone goes, like nobody's seen that going on. So that's changed. And I like the sociability of having my sales. And it gives you a lot of pleasure.
What about energy levels with the eating it? Have you noticed? the health benefit.
Okay, I'm not organised enough to make myself into a control group. So, you know, it's possible that because I know it's good for me, it is good for me, but I can't tell you that. I haven't had a cold in more than a year. That's good.
Touching wood. Yeah.
And my clients, I call them clients because a lot of them say I need something. I've been taking antibiotics. What can I do? Mm. So I call them, you know, I feel like a... It's just food, right? But I know how much good it's doing them. I mean, I know that they've done studies when they look at the kind of probiotics you might buy in a capsule from the fridge in a health food shop. Costs you, what does it cost you? 7-8 quid, something like that?
At least.
I know that in 2 spoonfuls of this hot sauce, it's got the same probiotics as an entire jar of those things.
Great. And
that
it's,
you have to force down.
It's cabbage and salt. I can't wait. It's so easy. Now, do you use organic cabbages?
I do, because, of course, when you spray cabbages, you spray them to get rid of everything. And you want something with its natural kind of...
Well, everything natural.
Lactobacillus is all over the whole, everything, every surface. Mm. You don't have to, but it feels better.
Yeah.
It feels better. And so, although I don't always use organic, I would always choose it if I've got the option. And the ultimate, of course, is to use my own stuff from the garden and maybe some rainwater I've caught in a bowl. You know, that feels good too.
Fabulous. So if people want to follow you on Instagram, how would they get, what's your handle?
It's at Meon Kraut.
And how do you spell that?
Meon, M-E-O-N, Kraut, K-R-A-U-T. And I put when I'm having a sale or whatever batch I'm making or, you know.
Thank you so much for coming on Radio Gorgeous. I mean, to be honest, I really can't wait to go and try and make this.
It's really fun and it's so easy. Right?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous, Lucy Ogilvie-Grant.
It's a pleasure, Josephine. Nice chatting to you.
RadioGorgeous.com, where you find the most fascinating women.